My guest at this time is Diana Furchtgott-Roth. She served as chief economist at the Department of Labor for President George W. Bush, and she also served as chief of staff for his Council of Economic Advisors. She is now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, where she directs the Economics 21 program. For the next few minutes, we'll be discussing what we can glean from the disappointing jobs report for the month of May. And Diana, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Well, disappointing is, to put it mildly, only 38,000 jobs non-farm created in the month of May. The expectation was 162,000. The unemployment rate did fall to 4.7%, but for reasons that are not positive. What's the main reason the 38,000 number came up so woefully short in May?
Well, employers, it's pretty simple. And by the way, it's worse than that because only 25,000 private sector jobs were created. Employers just stopped hiring is one reason. There was another reason. There was the strike of Verizon workers, which is about another 35,000 people. But even if those had been counted, the amount would have been woefully low, only about 60,000 private sector jobs. So employers, for whatever reason, decided they were cutting back, especially on low-skill workers. And one possible reason for this is the increase in the minimum wage and increase in Labor Department regulations.
Diana, the Obama administration says it's a disappointment, but also points to what it says is years' worth of monthly job gains as proof that ultimately these policies are working. What do you say in response to that?
I would say that job gains have been decreasing for 7 or 8 months in a row ever since October, and these are linked to slow GDP growth. GDP growth was about 0.8% last quarter. It was 0.8%. Before that, it was about 1.4%. And before that, it was around 2%. So if you have a steady decline in GDP growth for several months in a row, it is going to eventually pick up into employment. Employment is a lagging indicator. Employers don't lay off as soon as they see a decline in demand, because they want to wait and see if it's real. And hiring new workers is difficult. But I think that the employment numbers are finally catching up with the GDP growth.
Of the jobs that are being created, how good are they? I know some economists have said that even when we were seeing regular months with a six-figure job creation, that a lot of them were part-time, a lot of them might even be minimum wage. What's been the pattern on that over the last few years?
We've seen a lot of job creation in education and health services, and education and health services are primarily low-paying jobs. We've also had professional and business services. We haven't seen so much job growth in manufacturing, even though that is a highly paid area. Manufacturing output is higher than ever, but the nation is retooling, and that means fewer manufacturing jobs. What we're seeing is this onslaught of regulations from the Labor Department, regulations on who has to be paid overtime, regulations on whether a franchised employee is an employee of the franchise or an employee of the parent company, regulations on independent contractors. There's even a regulation that says if a company hires an attorney to advise on labor issues, the name of that attorney has to be made public. All those other attorneys' clients and the amount paid to the labor lawyer by all these clients. So with regulation after regulation coming back, it's not surprising that companies are deciding that maybe less hiring is better than more, especially in this GDP growth environment.
Diana, another thing you and I have talked about a lot as we looked at these jobs numbers over the years has been the labor participation rate, which has now dropped to 62.6%. In the month of May, 458,000 people left the labor force. What do you make of those numbers?
Again, it's primarily low-wage workers that are dropping out. There was practically no change in workers with a BA and above, which suggests that these increases in the minimum wage are having an effect. If you're worth $7.50 an hour, no one's going to pay you $15 an hour, and you're going to be left jobless. Those low-skill workers in Seattle either need to move someplace else or go on unemployment.
What about the issue of wages? Stagnant wages has not only been a big issue for American families over the past several years, but it's become a big issue in this year's presidential campaign as well. Why can't we get that reinvigorated again?
Well, one reason is that the compensation package is just becoming more expensive. So wages are just one part of the compensation package. The employers often provide pensions, benefits, sick leave, maternity leave, health care. And with these other kinds of benefits getting more expensive, the most notable is health care. After Obamacare, something has to give, and that's often the cash wage. So it might seem as though wages are stagnating, whereas really if you look at the total compensation package, it's rising. But often people find that these benefits aren't particularly useful. A health care plan, for example, with a high deductible is not particularly useful to an employee, and they also don't observe the value of these benefits rising. All they see is, I'm not getting a raise. So that's been one source of disappointment.
We're talking with Diana Furcht-Gott-Roth, a former chief economist at the Department of Labor. She's now with the Manhattan Institute. And Diana, what ideas, what policies do you think would spark the most growth right now, whether it's something you've heard on the campaign trail or something you believe that is more based in policy? What would make things better right now?
I think empirical evidence has just demonstrated that lowering taxes and lowering regulations would have the most effect. If we can roll back some of these regulations on employers, they would be more likely to hire. If we could lower our top tax rate, our corporate tax rate, from 39%, which is the highest in the OECD, to something more like the OECD average or even below it, that's 24% or lower, we would attract a lot more investment from abroad. And we would encourage companies to bring back earnings which are right now stuck offshore.
Diana, we'll see if the candidates and other policymakers pursue those ideas. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Diana Furcht-Gott-Roth served as chief economist at the Department of Labor for President George W. Bush. She was also chief of staff for his Council of Economic Advisors. She's now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, where she directs the Economics 21 program. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.